We're going to kind of recap what we talked about last week. Last week we talked about staying with Christ, And, you know, you may have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in your life years ago or a year ago, whatever it might be. And the question was this: how do we live the years after having accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord? Can we just live as we please and expect that God's grace will automatically forgive willful sins and offenses? No. We have to make a very conscious effort to live righteously, to live holy lives, pure lives, as God is holy, without which no man shall see the Lord. We'll take questions at the end. So we talked about holiness last week, striving, working, you know, making an effort diligently to be holy as God is holy. Amen?
Amen.
The author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no man, no woman will see the Lord. I want to see God in heaven one day. How about you?
Amen.
So we've got to live pure lives. Today I want to talk about somewhat of a different subject, and it's this: peace in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of the storm. And we've been hearing a lot about storms of nature recently. And on May 22nd, 2011, a major tornado hit the city of Joplin, Missouri. And I was with a church team this past weekend in Joplin, Missouri, doing some tornado-related relief work. And we got there Friday night, and we got back to Tulsa last night, Sunday night. And just unbelievable what that Joplin tornado did on May 22nd. It just leveled this section of the city and destroyed almost 8,000 homes and almost 2,000 apartments and thousands of vehicles, 160 lives lost. It's a shame, isn't it, about the storms of nature. And just recently, over the last couple of days, Hurricane Irene slammed the East Coast and did a lot of damage. How many have heard about Hurricane Irene? I think that's what it's called, right? Hurricane Irene, is that right?
Yeah.
Hurricane Irene. And, you know, friends, storms of nature happen, but storms also occur in people's lives. Let me say it again. Storms in nature often happen, but storms also occur in people's lives. And I'm here to ask you today, are you going through a storm in your life right now? What kinds of storms do people face in life? The storms that people face and you might be facing today are storms of sickness in your body, broken relationships, sickness in the life of a loved one, or depression in your emotions, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a relationship, the loss of a job or loss of finances, maybe having a prodigal child who has, you know, severed ties with you, has run away from your life. And friends, storms, remember this, storms will come in life. They will come in life. And they may rattle your emotions with turmoil and depression. And the devil would want to use storms in your life to keep you up from sleeping at night. But there's good news. You know what that good news is? The good news is this, is that you can have the peace of God in the middle of your storm. You may be going through some hard times in your life right now, some trials, some tribulations, but you can have the peace that only God can give right in the middle of the storm that you might be going through. Now, I want to read you this. It's concerning the Joplin tornado. It's, I guess, a magazine that Ozark Christian College put together. It's called In the Midst of the Storm. It talks about different stories related to that Joplin tornado on May 22nd. And it says this: OCC, Ozark Christian College, librarian John Hunter was sitting down to hot biscuits with his wife and granddaughter when they heard the warning sirens. Going into the bathroom, they waited and soon heard a deafening sound. John leaped to cover his granddaughter in the bathtub. It was as if a giant were pounding the house with his fist. John would later write, "The swirling wind caused the entire house to shake and start to fall apart. The roof soon disappeared, throwing ceiling sheetrock and 2x4s on top of my head. The blown-in insulation and broken glass filled our hair and eyes. Then the large hail pummeled the nightlights out of us. Once that subsided, I cleared enough debris to open the bathroom door, which was now our front door. Though the house was destroyed around them, John and his family were all miraculously kept safe. As you can see in the accompanying picture, on the one wall of their home left standing a single painting, unbelievably still hung." So this was their house, destroyed. One wall remained standing with a picture on that wall. Could you believe that? And guess what the name of the painting was?
Jesus.
That wall with the painting on it, the name of the painting was Jack Dawson's Peace in the Middle of the Storm. Isn't that awesome? And that's the painting right there. Peace in the Middle of the Storm. I mean, this tornado hit their house. The one wall remains standing with this picture, this painting called Peace in the Middle of the Storm. Isn't that awesome? That's just like God, isn't it? To express to us, to communicate to His followers that we can have peace in the midst of the trials that we're going through in life. Amen? Amen. You agree with that? Yeah. Now, you know what the word Irene means from the original Greek language of the New Testament? The word, interestingly enough, when I heard Hurricane Irene, I was like, wow. The word Irene, believe it or not, means peace. Isn't that interesting that the latest hurricane hitting the East Coast was named Hurricane Irene? Hurricane Peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. I think that's what God is trying to tell us nowadays, right? That we as believers in Christ, we as followers of God can have peace, serenity, calmness in the midst of the really tough times that we might be going through today. Is that making sense? So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about peace in the middle of your storm. Mark chapter 4, if you have a Bible. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. And this is what it says. Mark chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. The world is looking for peace. Would you agree? I mean, there's turmoil going on in the world. There's wars and rumors of war and nations fighting against each other and civil strife within nations themselves, right? So turmoil is going on continuously. And everybody is looking for peace. And this is what it says in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, that's Jesus, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Here's the key, verse 37 of Mark 4. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So it might have been a peaceful day and peaceful evening, and they were sailing along the water, Jesus and the disciples. And all at once, this furious storm arises on the waters, and so the boat is rocked back and forth. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we're about to drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Peace, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Storm on the waters. The boat is being rocked back and forth, and the disciples are gripped with what emotion? Fear. "Teacher, don't you care about us? We're about to drown." And Jesus wakes from his sleep, points to the storm, and he says, "Peace, be still." So how do you have peace in the middle of your storm? How do you go about having peace in the middle of your storm? First and foremost, remember this, you have got to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesies Jesus in Isaiah 9:6 as what? As the Prince of Peace. It doesn't matter, friend, what is going on around you. It doesn't matter how much depression tries to take a hold of your life. It doesn't matter about that broken relationship or how much money you have lost or how that person has slandered you and cut you out of their lives. It doesn't matter that unexpected report in the middle of those storms. If you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, you can have the peace of God because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Back in the early 2000s, I was doing a lot of missionary work in the country of India, North India. I was in North India one time. I think it was either 2002 or 2003, can't remember exactly. I was at the YWCA in New Delhi, North India. And there was this woman there who was having a conversation with me and my Indian host friend. And she was talking about how years previous to this, she had started coming to India. And she met this Hindu leader in India who has a great following, has a large following. He's a Hindu leader. He's not a Christian. And she said, I met this man. She said he was kind of funny looking, short, had big hair. She said, but when I met him, my heart melted, she said. And she's going back and forth with my Indian host friend, telling him how miraculous this guy is, how he appears to her at night, gives her words of wisdom, so forth and so on. And they're just going on and on, back and forth and back and forth. And she's just defending this Hindu leader. You know, and she says, I spend 6 months every year in India just to sit, basically just because of this Indian Hindu leader. And so she and my Indian host friend are going back and forth talking about this man. And finally, my Indian host friend asks her this question. He says, ma'am, is this Hindu leader able to give you peace on the inside? And friends, I kid you not, at that point, the conversation became silence. The understood answer was what? It was no. Friends, there is no leader out there of any religion, there is no thing out there that can give any human being peace on the inside. There's no material thing, there's no drug, there's no alcohol, there's no person, there's no professor, there's no book, there's no media that can give any human being true peace that surpasses human understanding deep down on the inside. There's only one who can do that. What's his name? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And people are all looking for peace. I was driving through Tulsa one time and noticed a sign saying inner yoga, inner peace yoga classes. Everybody is looking for peace. And friends, maybe you're in turmoil on the inside today. Maybe you're looking for peace in the midst of your storm. Guess what? There's only one that can bring it to you. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I heard a preacher say this one time that the absence of strife or absence of a storm doesn't mean that you have peace. Think about that. The absence of a storm in your life, the absence of strife in your life, does not mean that you have peace. You know, everything around you could be at peace. No storm, no strife. But on the inside, you could still have turmoil. And only bowing to Jesus brings inner peace. Now, to support that, turn to Isaiah 57 if you have a Bible. Isaiah 57 verses 20 through 21. Isaiah 57. The wicked are those who do not have Jesus Christ, right? The wicked and the godless. This is what Isaiah says in Isaiah 57 verses 20 and 21. The wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. Verse 21. There is no peace, says my God, for the whom? There is no peace for the wicked. Who are the wicked? Who are the wicked? As I just said, the wicked are those who have not submitted their lives to Jesus Christ. Those who are doing their own thing with their lives, saying, God, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it. Those are the godless, the wicked. And God says, there is no peace for the wicked. But on the other hand, the opposite is true, right? That there is peace for the whom? For the godly. For the ones who have made Jesus Christ Savior and Lord. For those who have bended their knees to Jesus Christ and said, God, I surrender to you. God, my life was once my own. I once did what I wanted with my life. But God, I now give it to you. There is peace for those people. And friends, maybe here today, maybe your life and what you do with your daily life, you've taken control of your own life. You've done with your life what you've wanted to do with it. And as a result of that, maybe you've got no peace on the inside. But God is calling you to surrender today. He's calling you, if you have not yet done so, to make Jesus Christ Savior and Lord. Maybe you have. He's calling you today to recommit your life to His Son, Jesus Christ. It's only when you humble yourself before an almighty God and say, God, I humble myself. God, I put up my hands. I bend my knee to you, God. God, I surrender, take control of my life. It's only when you do that that the turmoil on the inside will leave your life. Amen? Is that making sense? John Hagee said this recently. He said, you can't have peace when you're at war with God. You cannot have peace when you are at war with God. How do you make peace with God? Who is a soul that is at war with God? A soul that is at war with God is one who has not surrendered to God, as I just said. One who has not submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That is a person who is at war with God. They're doing their own thing with their life, saying, God, this is my life. I've got the driver's seat of my life. I've got the steering wheel of my life. That person is at war with God. And a person at war with God cannot have inner peace. Does that make sense? So how do we go about making peace with God? Paul writes about it in Romans 5, verse 1. He says this. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith in Christ, we have what with God? We have peace with God through whom? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody who is not submitted to Jesus is not at peace with God. They're at war with God. They will always have inner turmoil. The person who is not at peace with God will turn to things to try to find peace. Material things and money and drugs and alcohol and fortune tellers and sex and all these types of things. But the soul that is at peace with God knows that his peace comes from Jesus alone. And the things of the world are behind that person. Amen? Is that good news today? The second way you can have peace in your life. Number one, first and foremost, you can have peace in the middle of your storm by doing what? By making Jesus your Savior and your Lord, right? What does Lord mean? Ruler, the one in charge of your life, King of your life, supreme in authority. The second way you can have peace in the middle of your storm is knowing what? Is knowing that what? Think about it. As Jesus knew in Mark chapter 4 in the storm. The second way you can have peace in the middle of your storm is what? Is knowing that God is in what? Knowing that God is in control of your life. You see, this belief that God is in control of your life, this belief has got to be your bastion of peace. In Mark chapter 4, when the storm arose, there were two reactions. The disciples were gripped with what? Fear. Jesus, in the middle of the storm, had what? In the middle of the storm, Jesus had what? Peace. How do we know that? How do we know that Jesus had peace in the middle of the storm? He was in the back of the boat doing what? Sleeping in the back of the boat in peace. And it's when the disciples got all riled up and excited and gripped with fear that they went to Jesus. Jesus kind of woke up out of his sleep, stood up, he pointed to the storm, and he said what? Peace, be still. Now, why was Jesus able to have peace in the middle of the storm? Why was Jesus able to have peace in the middle of that storm? Good. Anybody else? Faith. Okay. Anybody else? He knew when his time was due. Anybody else? How could Jesus have peace in the middle of a storm that almost drowned them? Obeying his father. Anybody else? He knew that God the Father was in control. He had it settled deep down on the inside in his heart that God would not let that boat tip. He would not let them drown. Jesus had it settled deep down on the inside. Friends, we have got to have that settled deep down on the inside through the storms in our lives. That God is in control of every single detail of your life. He's not going to let your boat tip. He's not going to let you drown in the stormy seas of life. God is in control. He has got your life in the palm of his hand. Say it with me today. God has got my life in the palm of his hand. He is in control. In Jesus' name. Amen. So friend, if you're going through a hard time today, just settle it deep down on the inside. Let that belief be your bastion of peace that God is in control. Even when it doesn't make sense to your mind, when the finances run out, when you've lost that job, when you're in that cave of depression, when that relationship hasn't been reconciled, when that child has left you, you can know deep down on the inside, God is in control. I'm not going to let this ruffle my feathers because God has got me in the grip of His almighty hand. Let me read you something else here that I found interesting today. It says this. During World War II in London, there was a blitz bombing at night. The people stayed each night in underground protection, but one Christian lady just stayed at home and slept through all the bombing. When asked about it, she said, "Well, my God neither slumbers nor sleeps, and there's no need for both of us to stay awake." Isn't that awesome? She knew that God was in control. And friend, God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is in control of your life. When you're sleeping, sleep in peace. Because God has got it under control. The enemy would try to take the storm in your life and use it to rob you of peaceful sleep. In the storm of Mark chapter 4, Jesus didn't allow the storm to rob him of sleep, right? What was he doing in the back of the boat? Sleeping calmly in peace. And friends, the good news is this, is that when you have peace on the inside, by faith in Christ, by having made Jesus Savior and Lord, when you've got that inner peace that only God can give you, then it overflows so that you can have peace in relationship with other human beings. There's people out there that would try to rob you of your peace, that would try to get you into strife. But if you've got peace on the inside, the peace that only God can give, guess what? You can have peaceful relations with other people. Is that making sense? One final scripture. Colossians 3, verse 15. Anybody know what it says? Colossians 3, 15 says this. Colossians 3, 15. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." What kind of peace is Paul writing about in Colossians 3:15? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. He's talking about peace in relationship with other human beings. When you have peace with God, you've got inner peace, and that inner peace manifests itself as peace with other human beings. People are going to do and say things in life, friends, that are going to try to ruffle your feathers, are going to try to get you all upset and full of turmoil. Going to try to get you into fighting with them, into strife with them. But you got to ask yourself this question. WWCD. What would Christ do? What would Jesus do? Jesus would put aside self to maintain the peace. Even if you're right, in the midst of a conversation with somebody else and they're arguing with you and you know that you're right according to the Word, just lay it aside. Lay aside self. Don't defend yourself to maintain the peace. Is that making sense? It all starts with peace, peace with God by faith in Christ, which brings inner peace, and that inner peace manifests itself in peace with other human beings. Amen?